Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to another episode of The Vampire Diaries, Season 6, Episode 15, Let Her Go. I am your host, Roxy Stryer, and you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I'm sitting alongside our amazing chat mistress, Tian Hobson.
Hello, everyone.
And the wonderful Katie Campbell.
Hello, hello.
You guys can find us at AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, where we are actually live right now. So if you're watching this later, we are live on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time, which would be the hour it is right now. So here we are, and you guys can also find us on Twitter and use the hashtag ABTVTVD. I know it's a little confusing, but you guys are smart, so I know you can keep up. Okay, I want to get your guys' opinion on tonight's, what I thought was just an incredibly beautiful, beautiful episode. What did you guys feel?
I felt like it was very beautiful. It was very tastefully done. They said goodbye to, you know, our dear Sheriff Forbes in a very nice way. And it was nice, and it was beautiful, and it was sad. And Katie and I cried, and Roxy doesn't have a heart, so she didn't cry.
I'm coming after you in a second. So just, you know, people in glass houses. All right, Katie, how'd you feel?
I enjoyed the episode. It was very emotional. I cried a lot. Sad tears, happy tears. We got both of those moments, and I agree that it was beautifully done.
Yeah, you know, okay, I would like to clarify something.
Yes.
I have a heart.
Okay.
It exists, I swear. But I'm a little stoic. I watch a lot of television, so just because I wasn't crying out loud doesn't mean I wasn't crying a little on the inside.
But you were making fun of us for crying out loud.
I wasn't making fun of you. It was more, okay,
sure, it was bullying.
At one point I said, I can't sit with you guys. And the reason's because you guys were going to make me starting to get more emotional, so I didn't want to sit there because looking at you guys, you're like, with the tissues, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I had tears falling on my shirt.
I'm going to lose it. I know. Were you guys a little offended that you weren't invited to the funeral? Because I really feel like we grew up with this character and, like, we, I don't know, I needed to be there to mourn with them.
I'm not really one to be offended by not being invited to funerals because they're sad. Weddings, I'm all like, where was my invite? Funerals, I'm like, you know what? I'll sit this round out.
I feel like we were there.
Yeah. I do too, actually. Especially because I thought they did such an amazing job with the speeches and who they had perform and all of that. So let's get into the funeral and talk about exactly what we saw. Right before the funeral, we've got this really uncomfortable Steriline moment. You guys know that I've been feeling Steriline. I think both of you have been relatively feeling Steriline. And Stefan doesn't know really what to do. It's the day of the funeral. It's not the right time to have a conversation, whether it's pro or con. And he's feeling awkward. Who does he go to? His brother. So was anybody surprised, first off, by that he decided, of all people, he was going to ask Damon for his advice?
No, I think he respects that brotherly bond, and he wanted to know what his opinion was. You know, they've been together for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get why he went to his brother. I mean, it's his big brother, and who better to go to for advice? But it did kind of surprise me. But who else does Stefan have to go to? Mm-hmm. He's not really that close with Matt or Tyler. Jeremy's gone. Alaric's dealing with his stuff. Like, he doesn't have a guy to go to.
I guess, but the answer would be Elena. I know it's a little uncomfortable. It is awkward, but I feel like she would give good advice. But she is Caroline's person, so maybe that would have been crossing the line.
I don't know if he could ask her advice because of their love and their true love history.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess. I just felt like I was really happy that he asked his brother, and I didn't want to think it was because he had no other options, which you guys are seeming to tell me that he didn't have any other options.
No, I thought it was good that he went to his brother because of their relationship.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. And they had a nice talk. Except Damon, I felt like, had some really weird words tonight, both with Stefan and with Caroline. Mm-hmm. So what he says to Stefan is, listen, you've been in love twice in your life. Does this feel like that? If not, cut it off now. Was that a fair thing to say? Or do you feel like it'd be too soon to say that? Or how did you guys take what he was saying?
How I took it was that we might see Stelena, because Stefan had the true love with Elena and might not be feeling it with Caroline.
That's my, like, arrogant laugh, like you thought Stelena was coming back.
Well, in the future, yes. But I was just, that's what I initially thought. And I don't know.
I don't even mean to laugh at that, because I'm sure that half the people out there thought like that, too.
Yeah.
I just so didn't take that out.
I thought that I was going to be really pissed, because I thought that they gave us the Steriline moment last week just to rip our hearts out and be like, oh, actually, Stefan isn't into her anymore.
They're like, but we tried it, didn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, we tried it, didn't work. Before it even gets started, I was going to be really pissed about that. But I do think that what Damon was telling him is just basically, he was kind of looking out for Caroline, like her mom kind of wanted him to, in a way, because he's like, hey, if it's not the real deal, don't put her through it.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. However, he knows his brother's a really good guy. It's not like his brother came into him and said, yo, guess who I slept with last night? Like, I got laid. He was like, we had a moment, we kissed. And he knows that his brother has good intentions usually, so I don't think he thought they were, like, drunk or anything. So it's just weird to me, because I feel like after one kiss, how do you know if you're in love with somebody? You don't have to know after one kiss.
Yeah.
And we talk about it a lot in tonight's episode, this whole concept of, like, epic love or painful love or extreme love. And I don't know. There is something to be said for that. But like Stefan finally says, there's also something to be said about just being happy and kind of being in love with somebody who's your best friend.
Yeah. And I want to bring up something that some of the chat role is talking about. Baby Doll Turner says, talking to your brother about love after he still is not one but two of your girlfriends about the girl you like, wow, that's maturity. And I was like, that is a good point. Because, you know, they've been through a lot. They've both been in love with the same girl twice. And the fact that Stefan still could go to Damon and feel like he could talk to him about it.
So is that comment, wow, that's maturity, or is it, wow, that's maturity?
I feel like it's
genuine
maturity. Because, I mean, think about it. They've been through so much. You know, they've tried to not really tried to kill each other, but they've kind of tried to kill each other. They've been through so much. And the fact that he could then go to his brother for advice or even feel comfortable enough talking to him about things, that says a lot.
Well, and we've seen these brotherly moments. When Damon first came back, he came to Stefan. Like, they have that true brotherly bond that they're always going to cherish what each other say and how each other feel. And I think they are mature and they've grown.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I do think it was fair that he went to him. I think the advice he gave was in the right place. I feel like it came from a good place. I don't know if it was too soon or what, but I was glad at least he said, don't do it now. Today's the wrong day. So finally, when Stefan and Caroline do see each other, can you imagine if he hadn't had the talk with his brother and he saw her and was like, yeah, I gotta call quits on this. I don't think he would have done that, but that would have been brutal timing.
See, I don't think he would have done that. And I think when he was talking to Caroline, he basically kind of did that without saying it. Because if it was, he was feeling the other way, I think he would have been like, yeah, you know, I do want to explore this. But since he didn't say anything, I don't want to talk today, I think it kind of showed her that maybe I really don't want to explore this. And I think the reason he felt like that at that moment was because of what Damon said to him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I took it as him really kind of taking his time to figure out his feelings, because it did happen so fast. Her mom did just pass away. You don't want to, especially in this point in time, you don't want to say anything one way or the other without truly meaning it to her.
Right.
Because she's very fragile right now. So I took it
as vulnerable.
Him protecting her from himself, and also, you know, a little bit of what Damon said, which is true. Make sure that you're sure about this before you pursue it any further.
I was kind of annoyed with Caroline. I didn't understand why she needed to know today. Of course, we learned that later in the episode, why she wanted to know.
Okay, I want to talk about that, though, Katie, yeah, because I feel like that's putting a lot of pressure on Stefan. She's basically saying, if he is in love with me or wants to be with me, I'll stay sane and keep my humanity, and that will make it so that I'm not in that much pain. But if he's not, that's going to be the thing that makes me turn off my humanity switch. That's not fair. That's kind of messed up, right? Like, yeah. She should be grieving for her mom, not focusing on whether this guy is in love with her or not. That's just my personal opinion. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, but she wasn't trying to tell him. I think it is going to get back to him now that Elena kind of figured it out.
No, I know she wasn't trying to force it out of him or right. make him say anything, but I just think that's really not the way she should be thinking right now. Because when Elena finally says to her, you know, Elena follows her home and says to her, if he said something else, would it have been different? I was sitting there thinking, no, there's no way. And she's like, well, he didn't. So I'm like, what?
I think I get it, though. It would be different because she would have someone there that she could make happy memories with and build on top, not on top of the sadness and just bury the sadness, but to grieve with and have someone by her side while she also builds happy memories with that relationship.
Absolutely, but this is the reason that people don't like couples getting together after a death. I was okay with it because I didn't think that the two things were coinciding. I felt like they both happened to be happening at the same time, but not because of one another. Mm-hmm. This is now, because her mom passed away, she needs to feel this love. And I don't think that that's a good catalyst. I don't know. The correlation there seems off to me. T, thoughts on that? Yeah.
Sorry.
are you chat mistressing?
I'm chat mistressing right
she
now.
She likes you guys better than
I
us.
Do.
Let's just
most of
honest.
The time, like, there's just a lot of fun stuff being said on here all the time.
We're just
what
so,
were you talking about?
No, we're talking about how Caroline says that if Stefan says one thing, she'll keep her humanity, and if he says another, then she'll just be like, all right, not worth living anymore.
Okay, yeah, she said that. Aaron didn't say it all at the same time, and one of the things that I think Caroline has proven to us over and over again is how dependent she is on guys, because she kind of is a serial dater, and I'm not saying this in a negative way at all. I have friends who are like it, but I would like her to not have to have the gratification of a guy wanting her to make her stay to make her stay true to herself.
So I do try to represent all of the fans out there and their different opinions on the show, and I will say I saw a lot of comments this week about people wanting Caroline to be alone right now. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that even if Stefan is into her, she should say, you know what, I need to do me right now, this is not a good time, can we put this on hold?
I want to see them together, but I agree with a lot of people that she does need to just be alone and be happy with herself. I feel like I preach this a lot about girls on TV because
girl power
because we do see them, you know, bouncing from guy to guy and always in a relationship, and when they're single, they're not single for long, or if they're single they're thinking about who they're going to be dating next instead of just focusing on themselves and loving themselves and empowering in that way.
I totally called that she was going to turn her humanity off,
I'm
by
so
the way.
Pissed about that.
I am, too.
You're pissed about what?
So pissed.
That I called it? You're pissed that I'm right?
No, not that part.
I'm so pissed that you actually said something worthwhile for once.
I mean, it happens so rarely, Roxy, that I'm not actually pissed about that part. I'm pissed that we're going down this road again. Mm-hmm. And Caroline, to me, is a smart girl, and Elena tried to say it, but you've seen what turning off your humanity and has done to every single one of your friends who's done it. And you didn't learn the lessons of how hard it was, one, to bring them out of it, how unhappy you were with them when they were that person. So why are you then going to go ahead and go through that? I mean, I understand that she doesn't want to feel, but it's a horrible mistake, and I'm so pissed that the writers are making us do it again.
I agree, too. And over everything, I think that it's a mistake because it's not what her mom would have wanted.
Of course it's not. In just the same way that it's not what Damon would have wanted for Elena, or it's not what Jeremy would have wanted for Elena, or it's not what anybody would have wanted for Stefan. Like, I never think it's what somebody would want, but I have to play devil's advocate here and say, at what point does Caroline get to make her own decisions and not just learn from everyone else's mistakes? At what point does she get to say, Elena, you did this twice, Stefan's done this, Damon's done, you've all done this, why can't I do this? I get that, and Elena, not only did you do it, you did it, and then you just erased all your memories again. I don't have to be the beer person. You, by the time you were done, was it really a mistake? I just think that Caroline always has to be the good one, always has to be the right one, has to be righteous or whatever it is. Let her learn for herself, no? I'm not saying that I want her to do it, but I'm saying I get it. I get it.
Here's what I think could be interesting about this whole scenario is that we get to see Dark Carolina, and a lot of people have been interested in that.
Yeah.
So I think that could make for some good scenes in the next coming episodes, but I don't want her to do this.
I agree with what you're saying, but I guess to flip-flop from what I was saying, on that note, why do we have to see Dark everybody all the time?
Like, mm-hmm. Thank why, you.
You know, like, people are obsessed with watching these characters go dark, and yeah. A lot of the actors advocate for it because obviously that's a fun thing to play as an actor, mm-hmm. But Caroline is this bundle of joy. She is. She's this bright light that Damon describes her as tonight. And do I actually want to see her go dark? I don't know. We got a lot of dark on the show. I don't necessarily need to. I'm torn. I could go either way. I see why she would do it, and I see why we wouldn't want her to do it. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Let's talk about the actual funeral and what happens in the eulogy. So Damon is really, really struggling here. He's having all these flashbacks to... And I love what we're doing here because we haven't learned much, like we talked about last week, about his family history and his parents dying and what exactly happened there. So,
oh, I was just going to say that was...
I go, his parents dying, Katie has a big smile.
I didn't mean that. I just meant that I loved the flashbacks in the first couple of seasons back to 1864. That was literally what I would tell people to watch. I was like, yeah, and they go back in time, in history. And I just...
It's like going to the museum.
Yeah, it's like, watch the show. It's so historically accurate. Yeah,
that's why people watch the show, for sure.
I'm so excited to see more of that.
Yeah, I agree. We were a little taken aback at first by the age difference between Damon and Stefan. So I have to mention it, and I hope that you guys at home don't yell at us. I was kind of confused. I didn't realize that there was that big of a gap between the two of them. I mean, in all fairness, we've got Ian Somerhalder, who is clearly not a teenage boy, playing in this scene what you would think is a teenage boy. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact age, but they just looked like they were 30 years apart from one another. That's what it looked like. I mean, what did you guys think about the age?
I mean, I told you guys, I thought they had a little brother.
Yeah,
because I even said, I was like, oh, did we know they had a younger brother? Did he die of the plague or something?
I was like, it's Freya.
Yeah, I'm just like, what's
I'm like,
happening?
Wrong family.
Wrong
and
family.
That's a girl.
But I guess I never realized that there was a bigger gap. Because my thing is, yes, we know that, you know, Ian isn't as young as what he was trying to portray there. So maybe they should have just gotten a different actor to play young Damon, and then we could have had them both younger, and it would have made more sense visually to connect it in my eyes.
I think so, too.
Visually connect in your eyes. Oh,
is that redundant by saying...
No, I get it.
Visually...
My eyes need to be visually connected constantly.
I figured it was Stefan, but I did not buy the age difference. And when we saw them become vampires, they looked closer in age.
Yes.
Yeah, so at this point... I mean, obviously, at this point... I don't know. Sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Damon become a vampire before Stefan did?
Yeah.
But not that much before.
They were both shot at the same time.
Oh, it was the same time.
And Stefan convinced Damon to actually turn into a vampire. But they were going through it together.
Okay. Stefan was first because
so it was
she was sleeping.
Yeah.
She was sneaking around with Stefan. And
now I'm remembering it all. Okay. Now I'm remembering.
Stefan fed first to complete the transition.
Right, okay. And that's why Damon was mad at Stefan for so many years, too, because it's all coming back. This show has a lot of history.
Okay, and Anthony Bain said the age gap between Damon and Stefan is 7 to 8 years. Damon is 25 and Stefan is 17, 18.
Okay, so in that flashback,
we know that...
He was 10. So we're assuming that Ian Somerhalder was playing a 17-year-old boy. Okay, so let's just let our minds go.
Okay.
We're taking that for what it was. Great.
His face did look a little smoother.
And I will say that. And then because we went from his face to his face later, and I was like, oh, they really did a good job making him look younger.
Yeah.
Just not that young, but younger. Right. Whatever. He's gorgeous no matter what he does. So we'll just give it to them. So we are there. We're back there. And we're thinking, all right, why are they telling us this story? What haven't we learned about them that we need to know for the future? And I got to say... T called this so fast. Like, I'm talking maybe 5 minutes.
I kind of called last week. I said that she was still alive.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought we were going there, too.
That's true. So, I mean, I don't even know how your brain works Because for me, not until the very end, and we will talk about her with Bonnie in a little bit, but not until then was I like, yeah, you're right. As you're talking, I'm like, yeah, totally crazy. Like, no way.
What? Me? Crazy? Well, never.
Last week's episode kind of alluded to the fact that we're going to learn about her because we heard about her so many times.
Yeah, we have. But I just thought that they were trying to show the humanity in them and have them relate to Caroline, but that's not what we're doing. It's interesting how the show works always, though. You lose something, you gain something. You lose something, you gain something. And I guess that's how life works,
too. We just did a lot tonight.
We did.
For me, it was, you know, when once we learned that there were other magical prison worlds, and then we saw 1903 in the thing, I was just like, who else is left from back there that we haven't already learned about?
Specifically pertaining to this episode, though, the reason they were showing these flashbacks were to show us that Damon was supposed to write his mother's eulogy, and he didn't. And Stefan was not stoked on it. He was, oh my god, that little boy was so cute.
Those
when he was
big
crying.
Eyes.
I know, it was worse than you guys crying.
That made me tear up that part. You could have said goodbye.
I know, and I love that he remembered that moment, you know, because I think that was hundreds of years ago, and you remember specific things that people say, and they really stand out to you. And I love that he took that to heart, and he used that for Caroline's mom's eulogy. Mm-hmm. And I understand how hard it is to write a eulogy, and I didn't appreciate everybody keep walking in being like, you haven't written it yet? It's like, if all he did was get up there and say, Sheriff Forbes, we loved you, goodbye. That would have been enough. So leave him alone. Like, come on.
Yeah. I love that he took Stefan, that memory, so it's like Stefan's advice to say goodbye to her, and then he also took Elena's advice that it's not about you, it's not even about Liz, it's about Caroline.
Yeah.
And he made it about her.
And the conversation that he had with Caroline, seeing that she was struggling. And Caroline and Damon have had such a weird relationship that this moment was probably my favorite Caroline-Damon moment I've ever seen. When he was speaking to her, and after the whole incident with the water in the morning or whatever, her being like, do we really have to talk? I just thought he said the perfect thing, and he was spot on about her, which made me realize Damon really sees Caroline for who she is, which I never really thought he did. He pictured her as this annoying little sidekick, but he really is seeing her, which I appreciated.
I will say this. Damon is a lot of things. He's a monster. He's a jerk. He's not a nice person, which is something he actually said tonight. But one thing that he is, he's a straight caller. And I think that he always gives the amount of respect to people that they deserve in the moment, because he doesn't play favorites, per se. He's always just going to keep it real with you and tell you when you're acting like a jerk. And it's like, whoa, you're calling me a jerk or anything like that. But Damon's always just been, like, a very honest person about people. So I think it's perfect for him to be the one giving the eulogy and just to express these things to Caroline, because you know that it's actually what he means and what he feels about her.
But I just didn't want him to tell her that next week is going to be the hardest. I believe that that's true. It's when you're alone and you're going to start thinking and it's quiet and you're going to fall apart. But I don't want him to tell her that right now. She's too fragile.
Here's the thing. Some people think that because they have knowledge, it means they must share it. I understand that he has this knowledge, but it didn't mean he had to verbalize it at that moment. I think he's completely right. You know, what he said is true. Like you said, he's a straight shooter, you know. What did you say, shot caller?
Shot caller, big baller.
Yeah, all of those things are true. All of those things, 17-year-old. But, you know, I just felt like, so she thinks that tomorrow will be hard. Let her think tomorrow will be hard then. And then let her find out that the next day is a little harder, and then it gets a little harder. Yeah. Like, you don't need to tell somebody, hey, just so you know, you think today is the worst day of your life? You're wrong. Like,
no. I also think that, not that it's okay, but Caroline did kind of take a jab at him.
That's true.
So I think that it was kind of his defense mechanism was coming up of like, hey, you think this is hard? Like, wait until next week. And it was his defensive mechanism, because she kind of took the jab at him when he's sitting here mourning his best friend, too. I think that's what a lot of people in this situation forget, is how close he actually is. They can have their feelings about him and feel certain ways, but at the end of the day, Caroline's mom consider Damon a very true friend.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though, if it was a defense mechanism 100%, because I don't think he meant it maliciously. I think he just was honestly, legitimately saying, that's not true. Like, yeah. I want to prepare you for the worst. You know, like, surgeons go into surgery, they say, this is what could happen. I don't know. I really don't think he was trying to be a jerk, but part of it, yeah. is definitely like, you jabbed me.
Well, look what he caused.
Yeah, he... everything's spiraling out of control.
I'm not putting that fully on him.
Not
she
fully.
Said, she said what she said, said
didn't help. Not that she wasn't already thinking it.
All right.
I'm going to be on Team Damon right now.
Of course. Of course. I know. We could go, we could fight about this forever, but we know how it's going to fall out. My question to you guys, and it's a little off topic, but I was thinking about it during the funeral, and I just remembered, I want to make sure I say it. Did you guys get surprised at all that we didn't see Enzo come? Because he had this big crush on Caroline, and it kind of faded out. And I never understood why TVD wanted to make it so clear to us that Enzo liked Caroline. Was it just because now he hates Stephanie even more? Or what was it? And was it not real if he didn't show up to her mom's funeral?
I think they did that whole little scenario with the two of them because they wanted to show that she likes to fix bad boys, but maybe that's not necessarily the right road to go down. And she didn't. And I think he's way too far gone on his own little planet, doing his own thing with revenge, and he doesn't care about this.
Okay. I sure, agree. Fine. All right, let's talk about there was the eulogy, and then there was the song. All right. I was sitting there thinking to myself, number one, she's so brave. She, like, to get up there, you know, it's hard enough to sing, but when you've got that, like, drip in your throat because you've been crying or whatever it is, your voice gets all shaky, and I just thought it was so beautiful. And then I'm also thinking, did we know she could do this? And our resident expert, Katie's like, yes, we did. on this date of this year, we found out. No, but seriously, you pointed out to us that she could. So what was the exact moment?
She sang in the Mystic Grill, Eternal Flame, and she convinced, this is when she was a vampire, so it was in season 2, and Jenna was still alive, she was watching her do this, and she was reaching out to Matt, basically showing that she had feelings for him, and he watched her perform, and she compelled the actual musicians at the time that she was going to be able to sing this and live out her rock star days.
Girl's voice was on point.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought she did an amazing job. I really appreciated how simple, and, you know, it's not like she's sitting there belting out at the top of her lungs, but it was really pretty.
And that, along with Damon's words, made Stefan look at her and be like, you know what, actually, I think there is something real here that can blossom. You just saw his face, and I thought it was cute.
Right. Something truer than true love.
That makes me a little nervous, though. That moment made me nervous because you know when you see something, like when Caroline has this complex, she likes to fix people that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. Is Stefan doing that now? Stefan seeing something broken, is he just want to fix it? Because that was his realization moment, and I was like, ooh, ah.
I thought it was more of him realizing who she is because Damon said she's this beautiful light, she's a great person. He pointed out all these things about her, and Stefan was looking at her like, you know what, wow, she really is. And then with that beautiful voice, he's thinking, wow, she has a beautiful voice.
Okay.
That's what I took from it.
Yeah, I could see that. Another thing that happens at the funeral, which I was caught so off guard by, was Tyler shows up shwasted.
Shwasted!
Yeah. And first of all, I am going to get so much flack for this, but he said, Matt says he's drunk, but it wasn't like he was screaming or causing a ruckus. Sometimes people mourn differently, and do I advocate for getting wasted before a funeral? No, absolutely not. But he's drunk. He's going to go sit in the back. He's paying his respects. Nobody else. It's not like he's going to go in and start shouting, Matt, who are you to not let him in? I just thought that was ridiculous. But what do I know?
After all the loss that they've had and the fact that Tyler wasn't actually sitting there next to Caroline at this moment really made me mad. Yeah. Also, at this point, they're all pretty much functioning drunks.
Yeah.
They drink all the time. From the moment they wake up in the morning, they're pouring drinks and drinking all day.
The supernatural ones, it doesn't affect.
The supernatural ones, it doesn't affect. But I think Tyler's gotten to the point, too, of being a functioning drunk where...
But that's what he says. He goes, at what point is it just normal?
Yeah. I mean, he's there. He's not, like you said, he's not making a scene. I mean, he had some trouble getting up the stairs.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, he didn't do anything to take the... the moment away from Caroline.
Matt should have just been like, here, let me walk you in, sit with me, so that he doesn't, like, stumble inside. But I don't know. I just thought it was so not understanding of Matt. And the time for a talk was not there. Afterwards, he could have been like, dude, what's going on? Like, you're showing up drunk to the funeral. But to not let him in, I thought was so disrespectful. So disrespectful.
I wanted him to be there.
I did, too.
Yeah.
And people could argue that it was disrespectful of Tyler to show up drunk because he knew that Matt wouldn't let him in or something. But I really don't think he thought that. I think that if Tyler had walked in absolutely smashed, like, why do I always add a to shmammered, smashed? He would have gone up and Caroline would have been like, are you drunk? And he would have been like, yeah. And she would have been like, yeah, okay.
Where's my drink?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I really don't think that people would have been like, oh, this kid's drunk. I don't think it would have been a big deal. So that was annoying.
Maybe Matt was just worried that he would act out and say something when he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Kind of ruin the moment of the funeral.
That's true. And then Matt kind of redeems himself because what he does for Tyler, which is a path that we have been thinking that Matt was going to go down for a very long time, and I'm okay with that, but Tyler becoming a cop?
No.
Cops, like, all of the time kill people.
Let's not say all of the time, because I don't want people getting mad at you out there.
Yeah, okay.
But, right,
yeah.
That he has to.
Yeah, for safety, has to. They're, like, legally allowed to at certain moments. I mean, it's just the wrong profession. I'm so scared for him. Why would Matt think this is a good idea? He's going to become a werewolf again. Period.
And he has a rage problem.
Yes, because he's a werewolf.
Yeah.
He's got that little bit of...
Well, this is how it happens.
Trigger finger happy.
Because I think it's going to happen at some point or the other. I've been thinking he's going to be a wolf again, so I guess this is how it happens.
Maybe he'll go on to the originals and he'll be able to turn whatever he wants and figure that out. Well, I always thought Tyler had a better place on the originals because he's so
I don't know why they didn't keep him over there when they sent him there. And then
they're like, bye.
They're like, nope. It was a horrible storyline for him over there. But Samantha Gavina says that Tyler was drinking because he was... Or wait, he was
sad
drinking...
about Liv.
He was... Yeah, because he was mad about... Annoyed with Liv. And that's why Matt was mad at him, because he wasn't drinking for Liz. Yeah. He was drinking for Liv.
Also, we're mad about the drinking reasons. Not the fact that he's drunk, but why he's drinking. I get that. And he'd been drinking for days. It wasn't just about Sheriff Forbes, but still. I don't know. What do you guys think about Matt becoming a cop, though? We've been talking about it for a while. T, I think you mentioned that it was going to be a spinoff a few years ago. Or Kate, one of you guys mentioned that.
There's been a lot of rumors that he's going to be the new sheriff. Because we were told that we would find out who the new sheriff is at the beginning of season 7 or by the end of season 6. So I think that this is just one of those things that's kind of setting it up for him to go down that route. And maybe it would make him more relevant to the show.
Yeah, that's true. We need him and Tyler both to have a permanent place. And we need to figure out what that is. So I do think that that would be better than him becoming like Trip and being this rogue and going and killing vampires.
But as the sheriff, he might actually have more control because you're an insider to the secrets.
Yeah.
And you kind of control the safety of everyone. So
true.
That could pose a problem, him being against everybody.
Right. Absolutely. So that was one of our huge storylines going on tonight. The other major thing that was happening was over at Alaric and Joe's place. So we start the episode and both of you are screaming at the TV, pregnant, pregnant, pregnant. And I'm like, okay, maybe again, being me. Like,
I don't know why she doesn't trust us.
I don't trust you guys at all.
She doesn't trust
because
us
you're a witch and a wolf. And who trusts a witch and a wolf? Not a vamp.
Yeah, someone in the chat said I might be a Bennett witch. I mean,
it's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah, I could see it.
If dreams can only come true.
So we go over there, and you guys are thinking pregnant. But then we see Kai walk in, and we're like, oh, she's not pregnant. This is some weird, twisted twin sickness
coven thing.
All right. Kai is really confusing me, and I need to know where you guys stand with him. Are you thinking, all right, we should give him another chance, even though he was this murderous guy because he could have Luke in him? Or are you thinking, screw him, get him out?
I still can't trust him. I think he has that evil that comes out still, but I think it's fun to watch his character because you never know what he's really going to say, what he's thinking at the time because he's so conflicted in his own mind. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy him, but I still don't think anyone should trust him.
I don't trust him, and I don't know what we're going to get out of him, but I do... But what's hard for me is that if he dies, then Joe and Liv and all these other people die. The dad, like, all these other characters die, too. So... In the sense, it's like, I want you to save him, Joe, but then I don't because he's a horrible person. But like Katie said, I love watching this character on this show. And there's been a lot of Bankai love in the chat roll, so I would get yelled at if I didn't mention Bankai.
Excuse me. Excuse me on who called Bankai. I have been rooting for Bankai from day one, even when Bon... was being hated by Kai, I still rooted for them. I could just see it. Love is in the air.
But here's the thing. We still haven't seen Bonnie and Kai together since he left. So everyone's... I love how strong, like, the Bankai movement is when they're not even together. And people are like, this is proof that they deserve to be together. They weren't even in the scene together.
did you see the Baemin moment, too?
Yes, the Baemin moment, which Baemin was trending twice today. Thank you, Vivian Foxtrot, for pointing that out.
All right, we have not gotten to Baemin yet. We're still on Bankai.
We have to talk about Jalaric more because of the Baemin.
Yeah, okay. So, basically, for once, Joe actually is using her doctor abilities, not her witchy abilities. Because we're like, what is she going to do for Kai? And then we're like, oh, yeah. He actually wants a checkup. So he goes in, and they're doing stuff, and Alaric won't leave, and he's being the tough guy boyfriend, as if he could do anything to Kai. Like, what you going to do, Alaric? What you going to do?
He's going to break his 7 bones.
How can he do that?
Because he's got, like, military training if you bust it in the right way.
And you want to know what Kai would do? Yeah, Kai would be like, all right, these are broken. Poof. No, they're not.
I mean, but he's a witch, but he still has a mortal body, guys. Like, he still feels pain. Look at all the other witches. If you get thrown to a wall, you're going to start bleeding.
But can't he stop him before he even gets to that breaking?
I guess not, because he didn't have the power at that point. He hadn't taken Joe's power. He would have had to reach to Joe to stop it, you know? Mm. So now he's got Joe's power. He's going to be a bajillion times stronger because he doesn't even need to find magic to utilize it. He's just got it. Which is scary if he is bad.
But because Joe used the same spell, kind of like if she were putting her magic back into that knife, can she just kind of go up to him and take it back?
I don't think that she thinks she can, but I do think down the road at some point Joe will have her magic back. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it can be transferred to her and she can be the president. What do you call it? The pack leader?
Oh, the president of the coven.
Can't be president.
The most popular girl in the coven.
The leader. Yeah, the leader of the coven. The leader of the coven. She's so popular. So that was a really, really interesting moment because it's between siblings, and I just really like watching their dynamic. It's awkward because I don't think Joe would ever actually kill Kai at this point because it's her brother. But Kai, we still don't know what he would do to Joe. So it is a little awkward, but I'm liking to watch them bond. And when Kai leaves, he says, yo, P.S., you preggers, girl. That's what I imagine him actually saying, like, yo, girl.
How did he know?
Because he's got that witchy sense.
I know, but how did she not know?
Yeah.
And he pulled out of her, like, oh, she's pregnant.
Maybe he pulled a baby right into himself.
No. Probably not.
No takers.
That's weird.
So my favorite part maybe of tonight's episode, there was a lot of great moments, but what I thought was so awesome was the fact that Alaric proposes, Joe's like, that's a pity proposal. And he pulls out the ring and is like, boom! That's not a pity proposal. I love that they didn't just have him pity propose and that he'd actually been preparing for it because I would have been like, oh, she's pregnant, so now you gotta get married. But this was so much better and I was really stoked.
It was supposed to be breakfast in bed when he was gonna do it.
She was all pukey face and you can't propose to somebody when they're puking under any circumstances.
So
I teared up for this.
Of course you did. I meant that in a very good way.
You're one to talk.
I only cried when someone was dying.
Are you going to be upset? I know you weren't upset about not being invited to the funeral, but not being invited to the wedding tea, that's a whole nother story.
Weddings, because that's where the party is, and there better be an open bar, better be invited.
So you can party with Tyler. Yeah. Trip up the stairs.
Trip up the stairs. But a lot of people are saying that they feel like it's too soon for Joe and Alaric to get married, and, you know, the fact that they're having a baby, it might be too soon. One person... Elijah 41 said Alaric would make a horrible father, all caps, horrible.
All right, I'm going to have to disagree. I feel like Elijah was fathering Jeremy and Elena for a long time. And yes, he did let Jeremy go off to hunt vampires. And yes, he did let Elena erase her memories. And no, I don't think those were great parent moves. But I mean, when he was with Jenna and he was like actually parenting them before they were adults, you know? Yeah. I do think he could make a really good father. Especially with Joe to balance him.
I think so too. And I mean, I said it from the moment because he was like, you know, I want, you know, you and this baby. And I was like, or these babies, because she does come from the Gemini coven. Odds of her having twins are skyrocketed.
Okay, but say she does have twins, then what?
What if it's quadruplets?
Then when they're 22.
Yeah, but are we going to get that many seasons of the show?
We better.
Good answer. But really good answer.
But their relationship, Alaric and Joe, I don't think it's too rushed in the sense of they're a human relationship on the show, and we get to see that as well. Not just these supernatural beings in love.
Yeah, and I feel like kind of at this point, when you know, you know, and it hasn't been that short of an amount of time. It's not like a week, and I do think Alaric is somebody who moves pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And just because they get engaged doesn't mean they have to get married tomorrow. I mean, I'm sure because it's this show, they probably will, but doesn't mean so.
Oh, and for weddings and funerals, Jeremy comes back, so Jeremy might be back for their wedding.
Oh, and did we read about Jeremy? Yeah, that's exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that I kind of hope that this is a longer engagement. Only because we just had the wedding on the originals, and it was kind of the first wedding we've actually had in these shows. So it seems kind of like copycat if you immediately rush to a wedding here, too. And we just had a funeral, so it's like,
yeah,
calm down.
I'm with you.
And another pregnant, like, person.
Yeah.
Just kind of like,
yeah. You know, you say it's the first wedding you've had. I was like, no. Is it? Like, I can't.
Yeah. Like, on either show, we haven't had any couples actually make it to the altar.
I guess that.
Go, Jaylee.
I just think of Delaina as a married couple at this point. Like, will that ever happen?
No.
I'm not even going to ask that to you, Katie. All right, let's move on to Baymon now, because this is a huge moment, and Baymon fans must have been freaking out.
I freaked out.
All right, mm-hmm. Before we can actually get to Baymon, we have to talk about Bonnie's cray-cray journey. She's like really losing it, like absolutely going mad, taping herself everywhere she is, and I don't blame her, taping herself, going through the forest, all of a sudden it's snowing, then it's not, she's like, what's going on? The moon like dissipates on her. It was the strangest thing. I know she's a witch, but she must have been like, come on, like, what is going on? This is more than supernatural. I felt so bad for her, and was thinking to myself, oh my god, she just tried to kill herself. Like, if that didn't put her over the edge, I mean, I was scared. What were you guys thinking during this journey?
I thought the worlds were colliding, these prison worlds, but I thought she was going to come back anyway. I wasn't scared for her.
Well, because even when we went away, when we started reading the journal that she found in the house, and we saw that the Aurora Borealis was repeating itself, I was like, okay, it's another event, so even if she can't get back to her time, she can still use this event to get her home.
Yeah.
I would have rather been stuck in 1994 than 03.
You're alone, so it doesn't really matter.
I know, but the snow and the
no electricity, no charger for that camcorder that's already outdated in our world, and then yeah. She goes to 1903 where a camcorder would be like, oh, you're a witch, she is, but
yeah. Do you think that would be the issue she had if she bumped into somebody that's a camcorder? In 1903, Bonnie's got bigger things to worry about.
But I think that, I mean, because we don't know who, at the time, we didn't know who she would run into, and we know that these are sort of prison worlds, but in 1903, if you went back to 1903 today, dressed like that and just everything, people would be like, what are you?
Bonnie is going to have, like, civil rights issues at this point.
Like, I mean, like, yeah, there's that, too. But if there's not anyone else around,
people are
going
to be like, who did you steal that from? And, like, that's what's going to happen to her.
Like, she's light enough that they might have thought she was, like, a kitchen slave or something. It's okay.
I'm thinking that we've got really big issues that we're not thinking about. And I think she would actually not even care if anyone said something. I think she would hug whoever she saw just to be happy to see anybody. This girl's been alone. What did she say? She's been there for 283 days or something. I was thinking, she's been gone for a few weeks at this point. I forgot that we had the whole summer and everything happened. Like, this poor thing, and she's counting every single day. We gotta get her back to where we are. And finally, in tonight's episode, we do. I have to say, I'm a little confused on how we did it, but we did it. Somehow, she fixed the Ascendant. And there's still a little time left on the clock, and Kai's got Joe's power, so there was a little room open, and she's back in the right year. I don't really get what happened, but she's making pancakes.
Biggest question is, did Mama Salvatore piggyback a ride home with her?
All right. Here's the thought. Number one, most importantly, now we know that Mama Salvatore was not dead.
I get chills thinking about this because she was like a ghost in that, and it freaked me out.
So who did the dad pretend that she had died? Who was the one that got rid of her? What happened there? We've got so many stories to uncover. Number two, is she still there, or did she somehow get sucked into Bon Bon's magic and come home with them? And number three, if she is still there, we don't know much about her. Is she somebody that they're going to want to go save? Or are they somebody that they're going to want to try to keep there as much as they can?
I think, without getting too far into predictions, I think that with Damon and Stefan learning that their mother is alive and thinking she's been dead, they don't know if she's good or bad, but they just see that their mom is alive, mm-hmm. and they're going to want to go get her.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But they had no luck getting Bonnie. How are they going to go get her? Bonnie's going to be like, I'll go get her for you, and then Bonnie's going to get stuck there again, and the show's going to try to kill her off, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but she made him pancakes, so that was so cute when he walked in and, you know, there's pancakes waiting for him. And that hug.
That was another happy tear moment.
That hug gave me love.
Yeah, that hug was everything. And Bayman fans all over the world's hearts melted. I get it. And I'm a huge Bayman fan as friends. I love Bayman and their friendship. And I will leave it at that. Let's get to some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Okay, here's the problem. The problem is we're not coming back until March 12th. CW is killing me. I watch every show on this network. They're hiatusing left and right. I'm crying myself to sleep. Okay, but when we do come back, what is going to happen? We saw a lot of Caroline in the previews, and it seems to me as if she flipped the switch. What do you guys think?
Caroline has definitely flipped the switch, mm-hmm. and I'm not happy about it, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
T's pissed. Mm-hmm.
I am with you on that. And I think that Stefan is going to want to help her bring her back, and I think that might make him have more feelings for her over time because he can't have her right now.
And because he's going to fight for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Any other last-minute predictions?
I have a prediction about Mama Salvatore and how she ended up where she's been. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, who put her there and why she's there. But my thoughts on the situation are that her husband, who was very anti-magical stuff, we know he didn't like them being vampires. I think she was a witch and possibly part of the Gemini coven, mm-hmm. because we know that the Gemini leader is in charge of all of the prison worlds that exist. So she has to be part of the Gemini coven. She's a witch. He found out, faked her death, had her sent away
or
something.
And Damon and Stefan don't know she was a witch.
Damon and Stefan don't know anything about that.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh, I like that.
I like it. I'm loving it. Okay, guys, in the next month, I guess it's 3 weeks, so I shouldn't make it more than it is. Oh, my God. In the next 3 weeks, people are going to want to be talking to you guys about what's going on in the show. And, Tiana, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at TheTianaHobson. And thank you so much, guys, for chatting with me tonight in the chat role. I had so much fun reading all of your predictions. Sorry I didn't get to talk more about them. They were coming in so fast. You guys are amazing.
I'm so jealous of you and your friends.
Oh my God, I have like a lot of friends, guys. This is like amazing.
Katie, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell, and Instagram at KatieCampbell13.
And you guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can find us at AfterBuzzTV. Hashtag ABTVTVD. And make sure you are leaving as many comments as you can on YouTube, on iTunes, and on SoundCloud. If you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. We really appreciate it. And anything you guys have to comment to us, we have a month or 3 weeks to read, and we will write back to you because we love you guys so much. Thank you for watching until March 12th.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.